They went back into the kitchen without speaking, and Ethan picked up her bag and shawl. "Where's Zina?" he asked. "She went upstairs right after dinner. She said she had those shooting pains again and didn't want to be disturbed."
"Didn't she say goodbye to you?"
"No. That was all she said." Ethan, looking slowly about the kitchen, said to himself with a shudder that in a few hours he would be returning to it alone. Then the sense of unreality overcame him once more, and he couldn't bring himself to believe that Mattie stood there for the last time before him. "Come on," he said almost gaily, opening the door and putting her bag into the sleigh. He sprang to his seat and bent over to tuck the rug about her as she slipped into the place at his side. "Ah, then, go along," he said, with a shake of the reins that sent the sorrel placidly jogging down the hill. "We've got lots of time for a good ride, Matt," he cried, seeking her hand beneath the fur and pressing it in his. His face tingled, and he felt dizzy, as if he had stopped in at the Starkfield Saloon on a zero day for a drink. At the gate, instead of making for Starkfield, he turned the sorrel to the right, up the Bettsbridge Road. Mattie sat silent, giving no sign of surprise, but after a moment she said, "Are you going round by Shadow Pond?" He laughed and answered, "I knew you'd know." She drew closer under the bearskin, so that looking sideways around his coat sleeve, he could just catch the tip of her nose and a blown brown wave of hair. They drove slowly up the road between fields glistening under the pale sun, and then bent to the right down a lane edged with spruce and larch. Ahead of them, a long way off, a range of hills, stained by mottlings of black forest, flowed away in round white curves against the sky. The lane passed into a pine wood, with boles reddening in the afternoon sun and delicate blue shadows on the snow. As they entered it, the breeze fell, and a warm stillness seemed to drop from the branches with the dropping needles. Here, the snow was so pure that the tiny tracks of wood animals had left on it intricate lace-like patterns, and the bluish cones caught in its surface stood out like ornaments of bronze. Ethan drove on in silence till they reached a part of the wood where the pines were more widely spaced. Then he drew up and helped Mattie to get out of the sleigh. They passed between the aromatic trunks, the snow breaking crisply under their feet, till they came to a small sheet of water with steep wooded sides. Across its frozen surface, from the farther bank, a single hill rising against the western sun threw the long conical shadow which gave the lake its name. It was a shy, secret spot, full of the same dumb melancholy that Ethan felt in his heart.